News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
I'm Brittany Caffey, here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, back together in studio.
Oh, in real life.
It's been so long, it seems like a million years.
I can't even remember the last time I was in the studio. I just worked out of my studio at home.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to be back together. If you've got a question about anything yard or garden related, you can feel free to give us a call or send us a text, 1-877-332-8255. All right, Rick, so the weather has been taking a little bit of a turn. We've been getting a little bit cooler in the evenings.
Well, there was even that one, was it a week ago? Was it Wednesday? Tuesday, Wednesday, there was a risk of frost across all of central Saskatchewan.
Oh, gosh. So
it was, but now it looks like it's going to be good. I mean, I think I see the lowest temperature might be Tuesday or Wednesday. It's supposed to be 8 degrees.
Yeah.
And so after that, it's going to be more like 10, 11s, that kind of stuff. So we're okay, but we need to start thinking about what happens with fall.
And the dreaded F word, Rick, fall.
Exactly.
It's on the way.
You know, we're going to want to start bringing in our house plants and those kind of things that we put outside for a vacation for the summertime.
Yep.
and we planted up, you know, everybody's into succulents and they put them in their planters and everything else. And so now is the time when you want to start thinking about bringing all those plants in. And, but you just don't want to bring them in, Brittany, because you know what happens when you bring them in, they have little what we call Klingons or hitchhikers.
little bugs manage to find their way in.
Aphids, spider mites, all that kind of stuff. So you want to be able to get some, you know, insecticidal soap, you know, soap and water, blast them with just straight water, using Ambush or another one is Endol, which is canola oil, insecticidal soap, and a little bit of pyrethrin in it. And those kind of things, you just have to remember, you just can't go and miss the top leaves and think you're going to get all the bugs.
Yeah.
You got to get underneath the leaves. You have to basically soak down the stem of the plants and everything else. And so you want to do a good job, and you're probably going to do that more than once. That's why you need to start now. That's why I'm telling you now, don't wait until, you know, all of a sudden it's going to be -0 or -1 to bring them in. Because you're going to want to spray them a couple times and wash them down a few times. At least, you know, I would say 7 days apart if you can. And then that way you'll make sure that you get rid of all those little bugs that are in there. And then when you bring them in the house, if you got some other house plants, don't buddy them up beside the other plants. Just isolate them a bit until you really check to make sure any other bugs might have, you know, you missed or whatever. And then you'll have the things like the fungus gnats, you know, that will be there. And that'll be normal. That's those little tiny little flies, you know.
Yep.
So put some sticky traps in your soil already. And then also if you know you have them, just get a slice of potato because there's no chemical for those ones, okay? So just get a slice of potato, set it on top of the soil, and the fly, we all know there's a little worm or a maggot, right?
Yeah.
It's just very, very tiny. And then that little slice of potato, the maggot will come to that potato. And then in a couple of days, just pick it up, and then you'll see a bunch on the bottom of the potato. And then take have a spoon and scoop some that are just underneath the potato on the soil and throw it away and then stick another potato down there. Now there's a new slice of potato. After a few times, you'll get rid of them all.
I love good natural cures for things like that. It's just like with fruit flies. I know so many people have tons of fruit and veg in the house right now getting ready for canning.
Well,
apple cider vinegar catches them like crazy.
Just a cup with some apple cider vinegar or just some vinegar or a little bit of soap on top of it type of thing. And just a piece of saran wrap, poke some holes. You'll catch all the vinegar will attract the fruit flies like right now.
Yeah, gets them every time. Perfect. Okay, so as we head into fall, what other things should we be thinking about with our yards and gardens, especially like when it comes to trees? Are they getting ready to go dormant? How do we help them along?
We're still in August, okay? I can still say we're still August. We're still summer.
Right? Yeah.
So I always tell people this is the week that you want to make sure that you have everything well watered. Okay. And we've had some rains, but those rains are okay for some shrubs and your grass and those kind of things. But the trees, no, we've had some pretty good droughts. Just look, we're looking over top of the river, and I could see all these trees out here, how stressed they are. I mean, you can see some of the leaves turning yellow already, and we haven't even had any cold weather for them to turn yellow.
So is that just because of the drought leaves are turning prematurely?
Yeah. They're basically shutting themselves down, protecting themselves, right? So... Yeah. So you want to give them a good drink of water right now. So deep water at the drip line of a tree, which is the outer edge of the branches. So things like your spruce trees especially, and your all your other maples and your lindens and your poplars, all that kind of stuff. Give them all a really good drink. Then after this, so that's all, just one good drink now. And a good drink means a slow soaker. Just don't put the hose out there and give them a good watering. You got to do the watering slowly. So put the hose out there, the drip under the tree, and just let it dribble.
Yeah.
Let it sit there for 3/4 hour.
Yeah. Right?
At least. And then move it to another part of the tree. Let it sit there for 3/4 hour. And this is dribbling, so you're not running this. You want it to soak in right away. You don't want it to go down the street and into the sewer drains, right?
Yeah, it's basically like taking little sips of water throughout the day rather than just slamming a whole bottle back,
right? So just put a little drip down there. If you have a soaker hose, put it upside down all the way on the drip line of the tree. Or the best way to do it is if you have a root feeder, called a Ross root feeder.
Yeah.
And that one there, you stick it into the ground. You stick it on your hose. It has a spike that goes down about 2.5 feet, but you can just stick it down about 12 inches down and just let it water, and the water's just going to get right down to where the roots are.
Perfect. Okay, we've got a couple of texts coming in here. This one is from Willa in Regina. I have a few varieties of hostas that are taking over my perennial borders. When and how do I thin these out? Can I replant them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Replant them. The best time to replant them is actually in the spring. You can do it in the fall. So you want to wait till a frost hits them first.
Okay.
Okay, so you see the leaves turning transparent, you know, when a frost gets them and sort of looks mushy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Then you can transplant them, but then you need to mulch them for the first winter. Okay, throw some peat moss or some leaves or something to keep them mulched for the first winter. But otherwise, do it around, as soon as the frost comes out of the ground, just after the 15th of April type of thing. That's the best time to do it. And then you don't have to worry about all this mulching, and they'll just get established really good. And so either one, it's fine.
Perfect. Okay, and we've got a text here from Julie in Battleford. I have cherry trees that are 4 feet tall. The top 6 inches are infested with black eggs under the leaves that are covered in ants and wasps.
Yep.
Assuming the black dots are eggs.
Yeah. So you could most likely eggs from aphids.
Oh,
okay, because aphids are starting now to lay the eggs, okay?
Yeah.
Once you start getting cool temperatures, they start laying eggs. So it could be aphids. Or it could be a host of other type of insects that are out there that put the black eggs underneath there. And the wasps are there and the ants are there because aphids and other insects suck on the leaves and excrete sap.
Ooh.
Okay? So they're there harvesting the sap. Okay? Because this time of the year, they're trying to bring food down to the nest and gather for the wintertime. The wasps are... The nests are their largest size they're going to be for the year.
The wasps are crazy
and
right now.
So right now, they're actually, wasps, we talked about that last week, they're hangry right now.
Yes.
Because there's less, because of the drought and that, there's less flowers, less things going on right there. So right now, this time of the year, I mean, it's crazy. You put meat out, they'll seem to, I don't know what it is about meat that you put. I was out dog training the dog, and I used little pieces of hot dog for training the dog.
Gosh.
And these things are flying around me trying to get my pieces of hot dog because they can sense it. I don't know how it is.
We actually talked to a wasp expert on the Brent Lauk show a few weeks ago, and he said that as we head into fall, they start looking for protein because it just stores better. Which is, you think about, they're just as hungry for that steak as we are, honey.
Yeah, so you know, you see, one thing about those that and they're also looking for things like the sap and the thing, anything to eat right now, because there's not as many flowers out there and those kind of things. So then the wasps are out there like crazy right now. So the wasp nests, I mean, they could be in your tree, they could be underneath your eave of your house, it could be underneath the sidewalk or in the wall of your house, wherever they find a spot. And like I said, this time of the year, the nests are at their peak right now. And so they can be, especially I feel sorry for the people that have allergies.
Yeah.
Because it's scary then.
So, So then with those little black eggs, what should Julie be doing? How does she, can she get rid of them?
Well, on the eggs, there's not much you can do other than what you can do right now is just take a pair of pruners and just clip all those off and toss them in the garbage.
Okay.
Okay. That's probably the easiest way because when they're in the egg stage, you can't spray them. Okay. There's nothing to spray them with. You can't use dormant oil in the summertime. You got to use dormant oil in the wintertime, so you can't use dormant oil. You can't use any soaps or anything like that because they're eggs, right? There's nothing to get. So once they hatch, then yeah, you can get them with soap and water, or you can get them with ambush or Andol or any of those kind of things, or insects on a soap. But when they're in the egg stage, not much. So best thing to do is just either take your finger and scrape them off, right, or squish them, or just cut those little branches off that you see them. It's not going to hurt the plant trimming them right now anyways, and then just toss them in the garbage.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Right now we have Paul on the line in Saskatoon. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to thank Rick. Thank you so much for all your advice throughout this growing season. It's really made a big difference in my garden, and I'm a seasoned gardener.
It's fun.
So thank
it's
you very
good.
Much.
You're welcome.
I have a gojis that are growing, and they're getting really tall. I'm
yep.
just wondering, can I cut those down and put them in water and grow some roots and replant them?
Goji, I would think, would go better from softwood cuttings, but, I mean, you could try it. As long as your branches are smaller, basically smaller than your baby finger, okay?
Yep.
And then you may be able to get it to I've never tried goji berry. There's some plants that just don't want to root very well, you know. Even Saskatoons, you can't root by just taking a stem cutting.
Yeah.
And so I've never honestly tried goji berry, but I would think a goji berry would do better from softwood cuttings.
Yeah.
But what's the harm in trying? That's what I always say.
And when would be a good time to even do that?
If you're going to do it, I would suggest if you're going to do a softwood cutting, you'd do it basically in June, right? June, beginning of July, in that range, that's when I would normally do a softwood cutting. If you're going to try just a hardwood cutting, then you can do them anytime once in the winter, basically in March, or take a cutting and stick it in water, right? Even if you want to just experiment right now, take a cutting and put it in a glass of water and see what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then if it works, I'll tell you. I'll pass that on to you.
That'd be awesome. Perfect.
Thanks a lot for your time.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Bye. Paul. Have a great day. Okay, we've got tons of texts coming in, and again, the number is 1-877-332-8255 if you want to call in or send us a text. This one is from Sarah in Kalonzi. Is it better to transplant oak tree seedlings in the spring or in the fall?
Oaks doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fine. So if you've got little seedlings coming up, you can transplant them. If it's in the fall, I would suggest doing it right after you get the first frost type of thing.
Okay.
And a good hard frost, and then do it then. And then you may want to mulch them for the first winter because they're just tiny little plants right now. But otherwise, perfect time again is just as soon as the frost comes out of the ground in the spring, do it. That's a perfect time as well.
Okay, and then Sarah's also wondering, when is the best time for transplanting buckeye seedling about 2 feet tall?
Same thing. I would suggest you do the buckeye. I would have no problem doing it in the fall once the leaves turn color. Okay.
Okay.
You have to wait till that point of time first. So you're not looking. You're looking almost toward the end of September. Okay, for that one. Otherwise, there again, as soon as the frost is out of the ground in the spring, don't wait until May. Should be done sometime in April. Otherwise.
Okay, perfect. Here's a text from Sandy in Moose Jaw. What can I put on my numerous tomato plants to make them ripen? The tomatoes have been green for so long.
You know, the biggest one is that, you know, right now there's so many leaves in your tomato right now. And so what you may want to do is you notice that you may want to just even have to prune some of your leaves off just so the sun can get at the tomatoes, okay? That'll be the biggest one. It's just you want to ripen them on the vine, okay? That's the big one. Also, the nighttime temperature is getting lower, so even if you throw a sheet or a piece of crop cover, you know, a frost cover blanket over top of them, then that will keep the heat in with them for the evening, and that'll help them so they don't have to take so long during the day to warm up and start ripening up again. So leaves, one thing, even they do that in grape country as well. If you ever notice, they plant most of the rows of grapes basically in rows north-south.
Yeah.
So the sun comes up over top. So on the east side of the vines, they go down and they start trimming leaves out so that the sun can hit the bunches of grapes. But on the west side of that's when the hottest part of the day, they leave the leaves there so the grapes don't get cooked, basically.
So you don't get raisins.
Right? So you don't get raisins. Yeah. So this time of the year when the sun's getting not quite as hot anymore, so you may want to just either tie some branches up so the sun gets into more, or just prune a few leaves out so that you just get more light into your tomatoes. That's the big one. And other than that, because it was a late starting in spring, it's going to take longer for some of your fruit to actually ripen, and you may end up having to pick some off and ripen them in the house.
Yep, definitely. Okay, here is a text from Kim from Regina. So late last summer, I called in about our evergreen tree suffering from needle drop, which was occurring at the top of the tree and working its way down. Okay. The advice at that time was to remove the top of the tree. We did that, and it appeared to stop any further damage. Come this spring, the tree was thriving, good growth, but suddenly in the last 2 to 3 weeks, the tree is showing the same symptoms, working from the top down, but it seems to be more aggressive this time. Whole branches are losing their needles, and it appears that the tree is dying. Is the tree a goner? Should we just cut it down to prevent the disease from spreading to neighboring trees?
It's an insect. It's a spruce weevil, okay? And so what it's a spruce tip weevil.
Okay.
And so what happens is that just because you cut it out, you got some of the larva, but there's obviously been some other adults that were in the soil that now came back up again, or came from a neighbor's tree, or a tree next door, or whatever. So what you have to do now is you just keep on top of it. You just take the next little batch down, so cut off the tip, take a look at your tip to make sure there's no bore holes, because you might have to go down a little farther to catch them. Okay, so that's very key, is to just not just to cut a piece off that's dead. You may have to look at your tip that you cut off, and if you still see the holes, you got to go down into the live part. Because there'll be some of the larva, which is the borer, and once that borer comes up pretty quick here, they'll be coming out of the tree and then going down to the ground and then becoming pupating, becoming the weevil. They'll fly back up and put their eggs back up in the tree again. So you can keep on top of it. You don't necessarily have to cut the tree down. Just a matter of keeping on top of it, and it'll put up a new leader again. And so you just have to keep on top of it. But watch, it would have started happening a lot earlier than just now. You would have started seeing the needles, the new growth, starting to weep, okay, going down. And that means that's the start of them not getting the sap anymore. So you have to do it at that stage. Don't wait until all the needles have fallen off, because then they've cultured in there and they're almost ready to come out and drop to the ground and become an adult. So you got to do it as soon as you start seeing the new growth starting to weep down and starting to die right away.
Okay, perfect. All right, one last question here before we take a break. We've been leaving our lawn at 3 inches this summer.
Yep, good.
When should we start cutting it to 2.5 or 2 inches before the winter?
I'd wait a little bit. Today is supposed to be tomorrow is supposed to be 27 degrees. Okay?
I think we're all getting into early fall mode.
Tomorrow's supposed to be 27 degrees.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've had a bit of moisture. So as the sun, as we get into September here, the sun won't be as intense, okay? We will have a few warm days, but I would say once we started getting into September, then you can go down to, after Wednesday, let's say.
There we go. Just a few more days.
A few more days.
Perfect.
So it looks like the weather for the next week is not going to be up this. Tomorrow's going to be the warmest day, and after that, we're going to get back to more moderate temperatures, so then you can start trimming it, bringing it to your height down.
Perfect. All right, if you've got a question, you can feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey, here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Brittany Caffey, here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. Right now we have Mary on the line in Watrous. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Sorry, Mary had to go, so I'm filling in for a question.
What's your name?
Daryl.
Daryl. Nice to meet you, Daryl. What's your question?
It's I'm sure you've had this question before, but it's in regards to basically an aphid invasion in our yard. It's at the point where really sitting on the deck is miserable because they're constantly all over getting into your glasses and stuff like that. We have to literally shake our clothes off before we go in the house because we're so infested with them.
Yep.
And around the garden, particularly along the small shrubs that I have along the garden, I looked there yesterday and it was just incredible. Like there were so many that they were actually matted, literally matted on the ground. So we've had these last few years. This time of year they come in and we're just wondering why they start showing up and what can be done about it.
A lot of times this year it has to do with the harvest. So once they start combining and swathing, and then all of a sudden they're just disturbed and they're just everywhere, right? And then this time of the year also you get huge amounts of aphids, and now this time of the year they become in because they want to start spreading their wings. I would say they actually the adults when they get so many in one plant, once they get infested, but I mean once their numbers get so big, it's just like a bee swarm where it'll produce another queen, you'll have a swarm and the beehive will split, right? And so aphids do the same thing. Once they get too many aphids on one plant, then they'll actually produce aphids with wings, and then they start moving around, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a way of just spreading around, and then at this time of the year, they're getting ready to lay eggs, because they only lay eggs in the fall, and to be able to survive for the wintertime. And other than that, they're born, actually they give birth and they're born pregnant, right? They're asexual. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's really important on your plants is to keep on top of that first thing in the spring. As soon as the leaves come out, those eggs are hatching, okay? If you can get rid of those first generations in the spring, you'll have less issues other than when they start moving in from other farmers' fields and everywhere else this time of the year. But this time of the year, you can just go and take soap and water. You can take some Sextetyl soap, Endol, Ambush, any one of those things, and you can spray your plants down. At least you'll bring the numbers down from them putting the eggs out there for next year, okay?
Okay.
So you want to be able to, and then also make sure in your yard, which is fun to do anyways, put a bird bath out there, a water feature of some sort, attract birds, put some bird, little wren houses, not little tiny holes for wrens and chickadees and all that kind of stuff. If you have those attracted to your yard, they used to see how many aphids they eat in a day. It's just incredible. And you'll keep the insects way down if you attract those little songbirds to your yard. You'll have way less insects, and it'll be under, and you'll still be some, but I mean enough that your plants can handle it, and you'll be able to sit on your deck a bit better, other than if the wind blows a whole bunch in from a farmer's field or the neighbors or whatever.
Yeah. Actually, looking out my window right now, I can probably see 12, 15 of those little songbirds right now just flying around the yard.
Yep.
With that, like only in the evening and in the morning to look for them, and there's literally, I cannot see any sign of them. Is it? Do they go somewhere at night? Or?
No, they'll turn the light on. You'll see them come around. We were out in the deck last night and they had the lights on, and I tell you, We had sand flies, we had aphids, we had everything. Everybody sort of wiped, sort of shake themselves off a little bit, and then open the door and sort of wave your hands in front of the door, and then quickly go in the door and close the door so they don't all come in the house, right? So, but this is the time of the year when you're going to get that, if you just go in there and start getting rid of the ones that are there, but they'll hide in the grass, they'll hide in the grass, they hide in the shrubs, they do everything during the day, right? They're just basically, and then they come out at nighttime, and because there's less predators there, and it's cooler, and usually the wind is calmer, and so that's why you'll see them more.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Daryl and Mary. Have a good day.
All right,
we've got a text here from Karina from Saskatoon. I've been watering my newly planted perennials and shrubs since they were planted in the spring. At what point in the fall should I stop watering them?
So probably, I always say after September long weekend, which is next weekend,
yeah.
Then I start slowing down everything, okay? If it's things like maples and those kind of things, I'm starting to slow down now already.
Okay.
Anything that's a very aggressive, maples and poplars, Those are two plants, other than giving a good drink if it's really dry. So there again, I always say take that piece of rebar, right? 3/8 rebar, about 3 feet long. Probe the soil down at least 12 inches, down to 16 inches, and see what the moisture's like there. If it's if you pull it back up and it's moist, they're fine. Just leave them. Just, you know, water them as normal, okay? But if you can't stick that probe into the ground, that means it's bone dry down there.
Yeah.
And so then you need to, you know, give them a good soaking. And then after that, only water enough the plants to keep them alive. So you're going to be very sparingly, okay?
Yeah.
And there's time also to start slowing the watering on your grass and everything else. You want to do a good deep watering now. It would be a good thing to do. I mean, we've had some rains, but some of the rains didn't go down. The soil was so dry in most cases, okay? That rain only went down maybe 2 inches.
Well, and some of the rain seemed to come so hard and so fast that it was all just going down into the storm drains. It wasn't soaking in much.
And that was the same place. It was so dry that the water actually ran, and then you kick the soil and it was dry underneath. So it's those slow soaking rains that are a lot better. So probe the soil. Honestly, just probe the soil. And because I always say, don't use a schedule for watering. Always use that piece of 3/8 rebar because the rebar has ribs on it.
Yep.
And rebar is what they use. Some don't know what that is. They use rebar for reinforcing concrete. Okay. It's steel bars with little ribs on it. And so you can pick it up at any Home Depot, Rona, hardware store, or whatever. Okay. Stick it in the ground and then bring it up, and then it brings a good sample. It's a cheap little piece of steel just, it works great for a moisture probe. And then just base your whole year on when you water by that probe.
Perfect. And then Karina is also wondering, considering that our area doesn't typically get great snow coverage, how should I prepare them for the winter? Should I protect or cover them with straw bales or mulch?
Yeah, straw bales, the only thing I worry about straw bales is that they attract mice.
Yeah.
Okay, and the bowls and everything else. Okay, that's the only thing I don't like about straw. So you can use leaves. You can use bark mulch. Okay, that works really well. What you can do too is, I always say, is that for perennials, a lot of people like trimming their perennials down in the fall, right?
Yeah.
I like trimming my perennials in the spring. Why? Why do perennials lay down on the ground like a hosta? All those big leaves lay down on the ground. They're creating their own mulch. Their own protection, right? Lays it on the ground, and it actually makes a little barrier on top of the ground. So I know in the spring the leaves are a little bit mushy and all that kind of stuff to clean up, but so what? You actually, if you leave all those kind of things on there, it just helps the plant even more. It's just a natural protection.
Well, and I always leave mine because I've heard that it's really good for insects, like bees and ladybugs and stuff like that will kind of make a home in there too.
They love the mulch.
Yeah.
They love the mulch and the leaves and all that kind of stuff. And also what happens is that you'll get other plants that might have like liatris and all, you know, like irises and that. They still have stems sticking up in the air. So those catch snow, like little snow fences. So they catch snow as well. So even if you put up a little tiny, make some, you see them out in the golf courses, right? They make those little tiny snow fences that are about, you know, 2 feet high even or so, that sort of thing. You can make some snow fences that are that high and just stick some pegs in the ground and put a little snow fence to catch snow if you're having a hard time keeping snow there. Or otherwise shovel snow from other parts of your yard over top, especially on the south side of your house where the snow melts away.
Perfect. All right. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you have a question relating to anything garden or yard, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. Right now we have Beth on the line in Saskatoon. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
What's your question?
We live on an acreage just about 10 minutes out of Saskatoon, and all our tower poplars appear to be dying, and we have several, and we're so disappointed. And I'm just wondering, people I've talked to don't seem to think that there's anything to do about it other than, like, just keep them as healthy as possible, you know, watering. But is there any treatment, and what is it that's killing them?
They're basically dying from the top down type of thing? The top part of it's dying first?
No, they've they're not dying from the top down. They're dying like, and I've seen it a lot in the city too. Like yep. They're dying like throughout the whole tree. Like there's big long branches going up that are dying.
It's called a poplar borer. Okay, so it's an insect that drills into the bark, and then you'll start losing branches. So what you can do is look for sawdust at the base of the tree, okay? Or you can look for holes about the size of a ballpoint pen head and then the shape of a D, okay?
Oh.
And that's how you can look for them. They'll be just down around right where the green meets the dead part, right? You'll see those holes. And usually the entry holes are fairly close to where a branch comes out of the main trunk, okay? And you'll see those D holes. Now, if you have those D holes, basically once they get in there, you almost need to trim them out, okay? Or otherwise, what you can do, too, if you see those D holes, you can get some what's called Dr. Doom. It's a high-concentrate pyrethrum, and you need to get the high dose, which is 0.5, okay? There's a lot of 0.25, but if you can get the 0.5, which is mm-hmm. a heavy duty, and it has a little straw and a little red straw like a WD-40 can, and you can spray them into the holes, okay?
Okay.
But yours, I'll tell you, these insects, this borer go after poplars only the ones that are stressed, okay? If it's a healthy poplar, they won't touch them. They're just attracted to stressed trees. So it's a matter, especially if you're in an acreage, you know, you have to be able to water, right? This was a drought year. And it's going to cause those plants to stress, and then that's when the insect is attracted to them. But once you have them, it's going to be hard. You've got to battle. Honestly, you do. And otherwise, if you're going to go after a different tree, if you start replacing, don't put another aspen or a poplar in there, okay, because you've got that insect in the area. Go with an upright, like a parkland pillar birch or Dakota pinnacle birch. Or something
birch.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go with the aspen.
These ones are actually in our yard, like kind of like on one side of the yard.
Yep.
That's what I was going to ask. My next question is, what trees are healthy that don't get many diseases that you could recommend for like a nice, because those trees blocked the north wind for our house.
Yep.
So, okay. So what kind of birch did you say?
You can do the Dakota pinnacle birch.
Okay.
They're a little bit wider. They're about 9 feet wide. Okay.
Okay.
And they'll do well, but you still got to keep them healthy, okay, out in because the birch like a bit more moisture. So put a drip irrigation system on them if you're on an acreage. Okay. It just saves you a lot. It's easy to do. You can do it yourself, and it'll just save you a lot and keep the trees fertilized too every year. So those trees you want to fertilize in the spring, early in the spring, and then you know, at least once a year or twice a year, or maybe once in May and once beginning of June. And then those plants will be a lot better. And if you're anywhere around Saskatoon, I would suggest just using, if you got a lot of trees out in the area, like in a yard, you can just use a liquid fertilizer, right, and mix with water. Yeah. But out there, I would just use like a groundskeeper fertilizer. It's made in Saskatchewan, but it has sulfur and it has iron in it. So you're lowering your pH so the plants can take up nutrients. All the other nutrients, like your magnesium, boron, all the other minor nutrients that the plants need to be healthy to keep the insects away. Okay.
Okay. Groundskeeper fertilizer. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Thanks, Beth. All right. Now we have Brian on the line in Simpson. Hi, Brian.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks. What's your question for Rick?
Great. I got those red bugs, and like some are black, and there's thousands of them in our yard.
Yep.
How do you get rid of them?
They're called maple bugs.
Okay.
Okay, maple bugs, they're harmless. They don't do anything other than give you the eebie-jeebies, okay?
Yeah, they're gross.
There's just so many of them. Out in the fields, I was just this last week out in the fields, and there's some black irrigation pipe, and the irrigation pipe looked like it was moving.
Oh.
So it was so many on there. But you can take actually, if you want to get rid of them quick, one easy way is just take a shop vac, vacuum them all up, right? Toss the bag away. Otherwise, if you want, you can spray them with things like Ambush. You can spray them with soap and water. If you want, on the foundation of your house, you can spray things like Spider Ban or another pyrethrum, even Ambush, onto your concrete foundation. As soon as they cross it, it affects their nervous system, and they basically will die then. Otherwise, like I said, they're harmless. They don't bite. They don't do anything other than...
Yeah, like, there's too many of them, and there's just,
yep.
Yeah. This looks really gross.
It just looks really bad. So, but, in fact, there's one right on the window right here, right now.
Oh, there is. Oh, gosh. He must have been like, I heard my buddy Brian.
Yes, one on the funny, right beside, right on the other side of Brittany's head here is the one on the window. So that's funny.
Shop vac, ambush, soap and water, yep. Spider ban, you said?
Spider ban is one you can just spray on a surface. On has to be, it can't be on the ground. It has to be on a hard surface. If you spray anything on anything you spray on the house for a barrier, if you're going to put it on siding, go to a corner of the siding first and spray a little bit and see if it's going to stain it first. Okay. You know, on the concrete base, I know it's fine, you know, on your parging and that kind of stuff. But if you're doing it on stucco or on your, on your siding, vinyl or cement board, whatever you're going to be doing, just go to a corner and spray.
Yeah, a little test patch.
Test patch. You don't want to stain it, and all of a sudden you come back the next day, oops, you know, I got this ugly little lines all over my house. So
it's called Spider Band, like B-A-N-D?
B-A-N. B-A-N.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And was there one more after the Spider Band, you were saying?
You can do ambush as well.
Oh, ambush.
Anything that has a bit of residual. There's Dr. Doom as well that works really well. Okay. And there's a bunch of other ones that work for, like there's a bunch of other brand names out there too. Is there anything of residual that you can spray on the foundation?
Okay. Super.
Perfect. Thanks so much for the call, Brian. Yep. All right. Here's a text from Rosanda and Esteban. My honeydew plants are really dying down. Does this mean that my melons are ready to go, or how do I know?
Yeah, if they're really dying down, it could be a whole bunch of things with heat and we've had and powdery mildew, a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
So if the leaves are gone, then you're basically your melons are pretty much you might have to rife them inside, but otherwise they're not going to grow anymore if your leaves are all gone. Okay, but and that's one thing with melons and that kind of stuff. Now it's September, that's when they put on most of their weight.
Yes.
So if you can protect them, you know, with a crop cover, and that the white crop cover even stops the heat, okay, as well, as if it's too hot, but also keeps the nighttime temperatures in, and you keep the moisture up. Is watering, of course, you have to take the cover off when you water, and using drip irrigation is the best way to for melons and that kind of stuff. But they put on a lot of weight in the first 2 weeks of September. It seems like they know that cooler nights are coming and they just start growing. And so, you keep them on. As long as you've got green leaves, keep them on as long as you can. Just cover at night.
Perfect. All right. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.